Those of you familiar with the Dave Matthews Band would know that it has been a tragic summer for that group and their fans. Leroy Moore, the saxophone player for the group, died of complications from his ATV accident in the summer. And this happened right in the middle of a summer tour the band was on. And they took a couple dates off. And I didn't know Leroy at all, but I'm assuming that he would want them to keep going, so that's what they did. And they were in need of a horn player to come in and just try to help out and finish out the tour with them. And Dave Matthews Band contacted our guest on our podcast today. His name is Jeff Coffin, and he's a two-time Grammy Award-winning saxophonist and composer, and he actually plays all types of horns. And he's internationally renowned as a performer and teacher of music. He's an essential part of Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, a Grammy Award-winning supergroup of musicians, and possibly the most innovative group I've ever heard. And he's been doing that since 1997. And he has been a Yamaha and Van Doren performing artist since 2000. And he's also a passionate educator. Since 2001, Jeff has given well over 100 clinics to various colleges and universities and high schools and junior highs. And here to share with us some of his thoughts about education is Jeff Coffin. I caught up with him in his home in Nashville, and this is what he had to say. Check it out. Podcast, and it is a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks very much, man. It's certainly a pleasure to do it.
Okay, so most of our listeners of this show would probably know you strictly as just an amazing musician, just redefining what it means to play sax. And I'm assuming that most of our listeners aren't aware of your passion for educating young musicians. And you're a tremendous success and famous as a musician, but yet you're still passionate about education. So I wanted to know, what is the motivation behind that passion to be a teacher?
Well, I think part of it is that I had really great teachers when I was growing up, and it wasn't just it wasn't just music teachers. It was teachers that really had a passion for what they were teaching, and one of the reasons that I do it also is that for me I sort of learned a lot of things later than most of the more advanced students around me. And so once I figured those things out, some of them were very, very simple concepts, working on fundamentals, for example, something that I talk a lot about. And, so if I had been shown some of those things earlier on, it would have been a different kind of discovery for me. It would have been maybe a little sooner than I discovered certain things, but I think that by discovering those things by myself also, made it a little bit more unusual in some ways, the discovery process. So kind of with that, rather than giving students real specific things to work on, like specific scales or specific patterns, when I go out and I do these clinics, one of the things that I talk to them about is the overall idea of fundamentals. And usually my technique for doing that is I'll play for a while. I'll usually play for 15, 20, 25 minutes solo, and then I ask them what they've heard. And for the next long while, we talk about that, and I listen to them sort of what they've discovered and what they heard. And at the same time, I'm also writing on the board a list of what I call the big five. And so it's kind of like they're filling in the blanks. And then at the end, I show them that everything that they've discovered and they've come up with, excuse me, has everything to do, is entirely connected with working on the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're kind of touching on my next question, but I know that you're a faculty member at Cumberland University. You're still doing that, right?
Yeah, I'm on adjunct faculty there. Yeah,
that's in Tennessee, and I understand that you're... a founding member of the cosmic faculty, and I was really curious about that, and I was wondering if you could, describe to us what it is, and then maybe share with us, if you can, some of the approaches to actually teaching you and the other faculty members are passionate about.
There's a number of us that are from Nashville that are on the faculty, and we've all been playing together for a long time. And Future Man is on adjunct as well. A great tuba player named Joe Murphy, trumpet player that I've worked with extensively named Rod Magaha, piano player that I've recorded with on every record but my first one named Chris Walters. And
That's
wow,
quite
this is great.
that's quite the lineup you got there. That's just amazing.
It's a pretty heavy cast, and a trombone player, Barry Green, top session trombone player in town. And so there's a lot of really great players, so one of the one of the approaches that we take is that we want to do music that's a little outside the norm, and so I do a lot of composition. And so I get an opportunity to bring certain compositions in, and we get to work on things and try stuff. So that's kind of the approach that we take, going out and doing clinics in area schools as well.
Most of the listeners of this show are educators teaching in like a K-12 classroom setting, and we have a range of reading teachers, writing teachers, math and technology and art and PE and whatever. And I was curious, what is something that you feel you have learned about being an actual teacher in these clinics and running these classes that you could be that you feel that could be beneficial to all teachers of all areas?
Well, there's a number of things. One of the things that I heard a long time ago, and it becomes more and more apparent to me every time I teach, is that you teach best what you most need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things that a lot of educators overlook sometimes is that we're still supposed to be students.
Mm-hmm.
We don't stop learning. And a lot of times I learn more in my clinics from the students than I feel they learn from me.
Yep.
And I think that staying open to that is really important. And I did some research a while back into the word improvisation. And it's a word that gets thrown around a lot, not just in music, but in every situation. I've been working on a book for about the last 5 years. I was looking for titles, so I went and I researched the word to find out where it came from. And it's the Latin root is improvisio. Now, just earlier today, I was listening to a Sonny Rollins podcast, and he was talking about improvisation and the reason that he continues to play music. And he said, because once you step out, he says, you're kind of outside of it. He says, you're in this world of improvisation, the world of surprise, the world where everything is different. And he said something like, it's based on the fundamentals that you bring to it.
Mm.
And so, like, I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, this is exactly what I've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes back to the essence of this word improvisation, the root of that being improvisio, literally translated means unexpected or surprise. And so when I hear a master like Sonny Rollins talking about this word and this act, and he's one of the great improvisers of all time, he's talking about it being full of surprise and being based on the fundamentals we bring to it, which is exactly the stuff that I've been talking about for so long now. And it just helps to reinforce that, that even as educators, we still have to realize how important fundamentals are. And they can, they can sit in so many different places. Even the fundamentals of educating a student, realizing that everybody's going to learn differently, and that we have within our grasp or within our power or within our range to influence a student and to hopefully inspire that student. That to me is the ultimate goal. I mean, I could care less if they learn their major scales or the Thanatonics or 251, but if they're inspired, then that's something altogether different.
Yeah, one thing that I feel that is very challenging as a teacher is, you were talking about how people learn in different ways, but also I teach second grade, so it's quite a range of the abilities that the kids or the knowledge that they have coming into it. I have kids all over the spectrum, and I'm sure that you have musicians, starting out musicians to, wonderful jazz musicians. How do you approach differentiation amongst, reaching all types of people of all
Well,
levels?
I'm not sure I'm trying to reach all levels. I think that that's one of the things about education is that the way we teach, the methods that we use, like there are some people who can't teach a beginner student and do it. It's not within their scope of expertise. Could I do what I do every single day for like a sixth, seventh, and eighth grade band? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Could I do it at a college level? Yeah, I could. I definitely could do that. High school, not totally sure. I'm not sure if I could deal with all the things that are going on a daily basis with those kind of minds. So I think that everybody has their expertise, and I think that understanding where that is, not only from a teaching style, but how do we learn as teachers also. And I think understanding that goes a long way to understanding how other students learn as well, and realizing that for as many students as you have, there are a number of different learning styles that are existing within each one of them. And they probably have characteristics of all of those things. And so there's a lot of musicians who don't learn the same way that I do. And those musicians aren't necessarily going to get a lot out of the way that I teach. It can instill in them like a sense of curiosity. It can instill in them a sense of inspiration or a sense of awe in some ways. And so I think that those sometimes are the things that we have to reach for, that idea of inspiration. And especially again for me, because I only I'm kind of bouncing around school to school a lot of times, even though I've got some steady private students, and that's there's other stuff that I work on with them. Not sure if that answers your question or even
Oh,
goes into the future.
it certainly does, and I was thinking about how you're talking about fundamentals, and I can only assume that practicing is really important as a including like a self-reflection and being open-minded. These are all essential parts of reaching your full potential as a musician, let alone anything. And if I apply that to teaching. And I were to ask you, what is something that you feel like you could improve on as a teacher? If you're always striving to be a learner, what is something like right now in your career as an educator, what do you feel like you could improve on?
Well, one of the things that, like I said before, that I think that you teach best what you most need to learn. For me, it's listening skills, and that I'm continually trying to get better at that. And to me, that's at the top of the pyramid of what my basic five fundamentals are with music. And so for me, it's not just, it's not just listening musically. It's listening to every aspect of every relationship that there is, whether it's as a composer, notes to notes to harmony, to the way that it's approached musically, whether it's a relationship with a friend or family member, the relationship of myself to the experience also, listening to these different things, listening around me to the sounds that are going on in nature and my environment, reacting to those or not reacting to those.
I feel that's so easy to relate to being a classroom teacher too, just making sure you listen not only to what the kids are saying, but how the classroom is going, and it's just such an important topic you bring up.
Well, in listening to the way that you relate to those situations also, I think is and one of the things that I do when I teach, and that I think has been a real forte, no pun intended, for the stuff that I do is that when I'm done playing, I don't stand up there and I don't say, okay, well, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm working on, this is what you should do, this is who you should listen to. Instead, what I say to the students, and I try to, and also I really try to shy away from, and I'm usually pretty good at it, I try not to call them kids, because like for a high school student, if you call them a kid, it's like...
It changes everything, you know, huh? Yeah.
It does change everything, because, and I don't look at them as kids, but it's a natural tendency that I fight, but I'm usually really good at it. And so I think that acknowledging that, you know, that they're young adults is really important too. And so there's that aspect of it. I think it's important to really focus in on what's going with them and validate it. When I asked them after I'm done playing, when I asked them what did they hear, I'm immediately saying to them, I think you know what you're talking about. Mm. So much so that I'm going to let you answer the questions.
Right. And coming from you, that's a huge thing, let alone coming from, I mean, it's funny, you know, like these kids look up to you. See, I just said it, kids. These young adults look up to you as this, you know, world-renowned musician. But, you know, when I think about it, these seven-year-olds in my classroom also probably look up to me in the same way that these musicians look up to you. So having that respect is just so important. You're right.
Yeah, of course. And because they just know that it's somebody at a different level than they are. That's what they perceive it as.
Right.
You know, but you know as well as I do that there's kids in second grade that can have very fully developed thoughts and fully developed joys and fears and hopes and everything else in between that. And even though they might be slightly naive to where they are in their lives, they're still very real to them.
That's the one thing that shocked me being a second grade teacher when I came into it. You know, you say I had certain expectations for whatever reason, and they have completely passed all that. So,
beautiful. Brilliant, beautiful minds out there, man.
Yeah, it really is. And
help inspire that.
Right. I was wondering if you could tell us a little story. We have a segment on the show called The Story of the Day, and this is a part where, you know, it's usually told by classroom teachers, a story concerning life in a classroom. But you know, when we get a chance, we love to hear stories from others, you know, about a significant memory about being a student in or out of school, and maybe reflections about any type of teacher that you've may have had an impact on your life. And you know, we would love if you could share a story of a day.
Sure. Well, you know, obviously there's been a lot of them because I've been studying music for a long time. I started in grade school, and the director who started me, a guy named Arthur Legassi, is still a great friend of mine. I just saw him last week when I was up at Maine, and you know, and we laugh about stuff too. You know, he'll bring stuff up, you know, from when I was in, probably sixth or seventh grade, and some of the ways that he knew to develop whatever it was that was sparking me with music, and there's a few things I remember. Like I remember that being a member of the saxophone section, I used to stand during band with the trombone player. And I think it was maybe even in the trombone section. And he would just let us do it. You know, there's a lot of teachers that would have said, man, you guys need to sit in your section. You can't do that. But he would say, man, you guys go ahead and just stand right there. And I would play other parts also. I would sort of play what was on my page, but I'd play melody parts that I was hearing going on in the band also. And he never shut that down.
Really, really open, huh?
Very open, yeah, and I played in his trio the summer of my seventh grade year. I was playing professionally with his trio, you know, making $50 a gig.
Right.
You know, and that was a long time ago, man. There are cats that are making less than that now.
Yeah.
And he's always been really fair. You know, he always cut everybody in. And I had to ride in the back of his truck sometimes.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
But there are a lot of things like that, you know, where when you have a teacher that sees... they see a spark. There's a lot, and I've seen this with people also. There's a lot of very sparkly young students out there, and there's a lot of teachers that scares them.
Hmm.
I mean, you're going to have students that know more than you do.
Which is
Maybe
scary,
not like.
which is scary to some people, as a
Well, it's
teacher,
certainly
right?
threatening. You
Right.
know, and it doesn't mean necessarily like that they know more about harmony than I do. Okay? But it could mean that they just get something in a way that's really beautifully profound. You know, and I've run across students like that, man. I've run across those guys, and if I was threatened by it, it would have been a whole different story. But I'm like, man, you really got something going on. I mean, you need to continue to develop that.
Well, that just goes to show, that part of you acting like that, a large part of it is just probably your personality, but it certainly didn't help having a mentor and a teacher growing up that fostered that sort of idea to just reinforce it as you become a teacher,
Right, that doesn't hurt. Right, you're absolutely right. Doesn't
Right.
hurt to have that.
Well, Jeff, man, I just appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. You're about to go out on tour. I think you're going to South America, right?
Yep, heading to Argentina here in
That's
2 days
beautiful.
Sunday. Yep.
And you just got done playing with Dave Matthews. How was that?
Well, that was great, man. That was a really interesting and eventful and tragic summer, also with the
Right.
loss of Leroy Moore, of course.
Right. Well, we just
And.
appreciate you taking the time out. And
Yeah, well, thanks very much.
yeah, we have one last question before you go, and it's probably the hardest one too. So, if the question goes like this: if you had to respond with just one word or a phrase that would sum up for the listeners what the word teacher means to you, what would that be?
Inspiration.
Nice. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. I appreciate the time.
Right, best of luck.
Okay.
It really was my pleasure to have that guy on the program. I've looked up to his musical talents for a very, very long time. You can check out more about his music and his clinics and educational thoughts on his website, jeffcoffin.com. You can also check out Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, the group he plays various horns for, at flecktones.com. They're just about to go on a tour. They've been taking a break for a little bit, and now they're about to head out. Not coming to Phoenix. A little disappointed about that, Jeff. Once you swing on by, I want to see you guys again. They put on a great show, so check out that website and see if you can go catch them in concert. They will not disappoint. Amazing musicians, all four of them. And that's it. You can visit the Teacher's Life podcast at theteacherslife.podomatic.com. You can check out the blog site at theteacherslifeblog.blogspot.com, or you can come join the Ning group, the Teacher's Life Nation. Ning.com. That's all we got for today. Go and check out that music, will you? You won't be disappointed. They have a new Christmas album out, Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. It's awesome. That's all I got. See you later.